Upidana Balava Grivanadari. Gopi Dana Balava Grivanadari. Yasoda Nanana Braja Dana Ranjana. Yasoda Nanana Braja Dana Ranjana. Yamuna Tirha Vanacharya. Yamuna Tirha Vanacharya. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjaviharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi Dana Balava Girivanadari. Gopi Dana Balava Girivanadari. Yasoda Nanana Braja Dana Ranjana. Yasoda Nanana Braja Dana Ranjana. Yamuna Tirha Vanacharya. Yamuna Tirha Vanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihariya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Prabhudakasharya Asadhara Satushi Shiman. His divine grace shall see Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Haribhag. Glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Agyanatvanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksura Militam Yena Taznai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapara Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitam Cha Hey Krishna, Karna, Sindo, Dinabando, Jagapate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namosute, Tapta, Kanchina, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Prishubhanu, Sutta, Devi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Vanchakapa, Trivyasha, Kripa, Sindhu, Vyavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Not so sure where the book is. Is it? Okay. So I'm reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, is that right? Three, 12, 35, okay. Excuse me? Okay. It says here, the creation of the Kumaras and others, text 35. Chaturhotram karma tantram Upaveda nayaisaha Dharmasya padais chatvaras Tadaivashrama vitaya Chaturhotram karma tantram Upaveda nayai saha Dharmasya padais chatvaras Tataiva shrama vitaya. Ladies. Chatu, four, hotram, paraphernalia, for sacrifice, karma, action, tantram, expansions of such activities, upaveda, supplementary to the Vedas. Nayai, by logical conclusions. Saha, along with. Dharmasya, of religiosity. Pada, principles. Chatvara, four. Tata eva, in the same way. Ashrama, social orders, ritaya, occupations. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The four kinds of paraphernalia for conducting the fire sacrifice became manifest. The performer, the chanter, the offerer, the fire, and the actions performed in terms of the supplementary Vedas. Also the four principles of religiosity, truth, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness, and the duties in the four social orders all became manifest. Purport. Eating, sleeping, defending, and mating are the four principles of material bodily demands which are common both to animals and human society. To distinguish human society from the animals, there is a performance of religious activities in terms of the social statuses and orders of life. They're all clearly mentioned in the Vedic literatures and are manifested by Brahma when the four Vedas were generated from his four mouths. Thus the duties of humankind in terms of the statutes, statuses, and social orders established be observed by the civilized man. Those who are traditionally follow these principles are called Aryans or progressive human beings. Oh, I'll repeat the verse again. The four kinds of paraphernalia for conducting the fire sacrifice became manifest. The performer, the chanter, the offerer, the fire, and the action performed in terms of the supplementary Vedas. Also the four principles of religiosity, truth, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness, and the duties in the four social orders all became manifest. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatyade Satarane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yesham Antakatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvanva Moha Nirmuktva Pujante Mam Dridavrataha. That those who have practiced pious activities in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful reactions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So we have a number of things. One of them is determination. And determination depends upon our intelligence and our realizations, our experience, and our experience, our intelligence, and ultimately our determination depends upon, well, principally following the proper procedure with the proper attitude. Then Krishna says, Tesham Satatam Yuktanam Vajantam Pratipurvakam Didami Buddhiyogam Tam Yena Mam Upyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. In other words, our intelligence is not independent upon what Krishna is supplying to us. And our intelligence depends upon what Krishna is supplying to us, what intelligence is giving us, depends upon what we're doing, and what we're doing depends upon what we're hearing. Therefore, the Vedas, Krishna says, are meant to help us come to the platform of realizing Krishna. Not everyone knows that, but that's all right. Krishna doesn't necessarily impose himself on everyone. But he's very much anxious to give everyone the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And therefore he gives the indirect path, as mentioned here. Brahma has created the indirect path, such as religiosity, the sacrifice, religiosity, and the four orders. Still, to be effective, even if it's not effective, even Ravana was following to some extent the Vedic culture. But there was no Vishnu. Therefore, he wound up in a lot of difficulty. anything that is accomplished in this material world is not accomplished outside of Krishna helping the living entity accomplish that particular activity. Because after all, we ourselves are not the doer of the activity, we're the desirer. And if we have the right desire by good fortune or by luck or whatever it might be, then there's a reciprocation between Krishna, with Krishna. But generally speaking, Brahma created these particular things for civilized people. And as we can see, due to the lack of actual education, civilized people are very rare. And even if they're civilized, of course we know in this age, that performing of fire sacrifices will not be very effective in this age, because no one can chant the Vedic mantras correctly. Correctly means they have the exact intonation received in the simple succession from someone who's actually learned how to vibrate that particular sound that actually has the potency to bring about the results as described. On the other hand, the second thing mentioned here is austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, and mercy. So in this verse, I've quoted Tesham Yesham Antikatam Papam, the beginning of human life is those particular activities. Now without cleanliness, mercy, austerity, truthfulness, then what we have is illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, intoxication, and speculation and lying. So that's what modern civilization has become expert at. There can't be any truth. The only thing left in Kali Yuga is truthfulness, but it's not even genuine truthfulness, and therefore it will also disappear without Krishna consciousness. Because as long as we misidentify ourselves with this gross and subtle body, then we're living a lie, actually. We're living an illusion. We're living in a fantasy world created by our own desires, created by our desiring, and Krishna arranging a fantasy world for us that we see and call the material existence. And from that untruthfulness, and what is the ultimate untruthfulness? That Ishvaraham aham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi, that I am the Lord, I am the enjoyer, that these are my things. This is my body, and the things connected to this body, they belong to me. They're meant for my enjoyment. In order to do that, commonly, pumsa striya maituna bhavanetam. The world is used to be man and woman, but the principle of man and woman is actually, I'm the enjoyer and you're the enjoyed. It's taken a little strange turns in certain areas of the world nowadays, but basically that's the principle. And usually it's a biological man and a biological woman. And that's the basic principle of material existence. Ahamkara, I am the car. As I said before, now people are not, they not only love their wife or their children, they love their car so much that they identify themselves even with a car. And as I said before, in Sanskrit, that's called ahamkar. I am the car. So this is part of our being absorbed in material consciousness with the hope that if I imitate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, if I have a nice house with a goddess of fortune or a two-handed Narayan, I have my expansions, my children. Some of them are plenary expansions, the ones who have some intelligence, and the other ones are partial, who can't make it through kindergarten. I have my Garuda, takes me all over the three temples. And only time separates me before I expand into more children, more Garudas, and there's no limit to my expansions in this world. So everyone is seeking after that, based on untruthfulness. After all, real truthfulness is that I'm 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size. Not very exciting. So we have to invent something much more exciting. And as we can see in modern civilization, as it's become degraded, then even our so-called love life doesn't exist anymore. It only exists on these books that they sell about true love. The only thing that exists is kind of like a boring existence. Punak punas charvata charvanana. The same people get elected every time. There's the one side, here in America, there's the one hand, one political party, there's the other hand, and people have the choice, they can choose which party is going to pick your pocket. Are they going to pick your right pocket or your left pocket? But that's, people are very happy about the choice. Some people are disappointed that my party didn't get elected so they could pick my pocket. The other party's going to pick it. Prabhupada said this is called legitimate pickpockets. They authorize. Prabhupada mentions that in the Bhagavatam it says that legitimate pickpockets include your wife and children. The man is walking in the street, someone takes a gun, holds it to their head and says, give me everything you have. And you feel insulted. But if your wife and children come up to you and embrace you and say, Dad, or my dearest one, give me everything you have, you're very happy for taking it. It's a question of attitude, that's all. But it's all based upon illusion. But we like that. We like to be an illusion. That's why we're here. We have hopes that I'm going to have a very nice illusion today. Usually my illusions and I have been not so good lately, but my astrology chart says today I'm going to have a good one. So I'm quite optimistic. All the planets have been arranged, so today it's going to be sweet illusion rather than the bitter ones I've been having lately. And if not, I have my goggles I'll put on and we'll go wherever we can. So this untruthfulness always winds up in the same thing. Punak punas charvananam. That we want to fall in love with something, whether it's our football team, or our wife, or our children, or our dog. Or if things get really bad, my pet goldfish. I think I have a relationship with my pet goldfish. As soon as I look into the tank, it comes over and smiles. The only one who actually smiles at me the whole day is my pet goldfish. I become very attached. So from there comes the idea that I'm going to have a romance. There's going to be a romance between something in this world. And then in order to facilitate it, because it doesn't wind up so nice, then I have to take intoxication to kind of like make me believe it's real. And then, of course, when I get frustrated, I can't lord it over anything. It's the carrot or whatever it's on my plate, I'm going to devour it. And that way I feel myself powerful. That the banana has been flown in from South America just for me, and the banana is paying full dandabhats on my plate. And now I'm going to devour it and get empowered. I'm going to be able to eat carrots and samosas and everything else. So this is the illusion of the material existence. As soon as we put a little bit and get ourselves involved a little bit, especially in romance, then you need the energy to actually fulfill your desires, so you have to eat meat, and then you have to take intoxication in order to digest the meat, and then any kind of illusion is possible. Untruthfulness becomes just normal. If you go up to someone in the street and you give them a book on spiritual life and you ask them to give a donation, the first thing that they say is a lie. I have no money. And then you say, no, just give anything. It's all right, it's a donation. Okay, so they open their wallet and they're looking through the $100 bills and the $50 bills and the $20 bills and the $10 bills, looking for a one. Sorry, and they can't find a one. Sorry, I have no money. Really, but what about all that money? It's not mine. I'm carrying it for my daughter. But you told me you didn't have any children. It's an adopted daughter. So it's one untruthfulness after another, and one can't even keep up with the amount of lies one tells. And if anyone challenges you, we become angry that, how dare you call me a liar? Are you implying I'm a liar? So Krishna has created this opportunities for becoming clean, truthful, merciful, etc. So this is called religiosity, regulating the senses. And part of that, at least, is performing a fire yajna, that everyone in society can perform some kind of yajna. The beginning was this fire yajna that's mentioned here, where people would be trained in order to perform, the Brahmins would be performing a certain type of endeavor in the fire yajna, which is part of anashram. The Shudras would assist, the Vaishyas would have the cows, which would provide the ghee for the sacrifice, the Kshatriyas would make sure everything was peaceful and arrange the sacrifice, then the Brahmins would learn how to chant the Vedic mantras and perform the sacrifice. And from there, devam bhavayata dena te deva bhavyantuva parvashpuram bhavyantak shek puramavapsita. Then the demigods would actually bestow, as Krishna says, all benedictions upon man. We'd get, what are the benedictions? Their rain would come, and from the rain, grains would come, and from grains we'd get food, and from nice food, not plastic food. Nowadays, if you eat rice and things like that, or anything, many things you buy in the market, they have little pellets of plastic in it. They don't have any nutritional value, but it saves the person who's selling it. It's a good additive. It's a lot of, plastic has a lot of fiber in it. People don't mind. They're eating something. They don't even know what they're eating. They don't want to find out because they'd have to go to a person with a chemistry, PhD in chemistry to figure out what's actually being there. Even the internet doesn't even know what these names are. And they call it food. And they're proud of it. I don't have to cook. I don't have to even eat. I don't have to chew the food. It's going to digest itself automatically in my stomach. It's so powerful. It might digest my stomach, but that's why I have an antacid to take afterwards. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about paying for it, my credit cards. So this is all the actual purpose of life, though. They don't know that the actual purpose of life is to obtain Krishna. Therefore, they're trying to squeeze out some happiness in the material world, some love actually, some appreciation, some good time, some good feeling, but they have no idea, there's no knowledge of how to do it. because, as it explains here, there are no Brahmins, there are no Kshatriyas, there are really no Vaishyas or Shudras, there are just Naradamas. Well, we start with the Mudhas. Mudhas, Naradamas, Maya Pritigyanas, and Asuram Bhavam Ashrityas. But even the very basic principles of religion are lacking. People think, oh, cleanliness. Cleanliness means to wash your hands with some alcohol, sanitizer, whatever they call it. Prabhupada said the most contaminating thing that exists, alcohol, you're washing your hands with it to clean it. They don't believe in mercy. They don't believe in austerity. If they skip one meal, they think they're going to die. They're going to starve to death. And as far as mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness means you tell enough lies that people think you're telling the truth. That no one could be so bold to tell such lies. And they think after you tell it, as Goebbels said, you tell it again, the same lie again and again and again, and then somehow or another it turns into the truth in people's minds. That's called truthfulness. So what's happening in Kali Yuga? The only hope is the chanting of the holy names. Because only by the chanting of the holy names can people wake up and realize what's actually going on. Prabhupada said, if you light a match in the dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. So although Varnashram is there, but generally speaking, even when people are progressing in Varnashram, they don't progress very far. Because the examples aren't there, the instructions aren't there, the institution is not there, the society doesn't support it, nothing supports Varnashram in Kali Yuga so far. And as far as sacrifice, people think, you know, sacrifice means I put in, you know, some money into the hundi, I put in a dollar and a quarter into the hundi, and I pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, turn it into a million. That's called sacrifice. And these things are not possible. Therefore, the only thing that's possible in the Kali Yuga, although Lord Brahma has instituted these things such as fire sacrifices and Varnashram and these things such as austerity, but they can only be manifested in Kali Yuga through the chanting of the holy name. Because we have no power and we get less and less power. Tathasanudinam dharma. Satyam priya, satyam shocham dayasrama balena kalira rajan nakshat nanyos balam smriti. That day after day, dharma is going down. Every day it's getting worse. People are thinking by the election of someone, things are going to improve. Prabhupada mentioned that when they were electing one president when he was here. He said they actually believe that things are going to improve by some kind of political change. But it's impossible. First of all, we don't even know who's controlling what in this world right now. So we don't know really who's actually behind who. And the other thing is that people can't escape their karma. As long as the animals are being killed, especially the cow, as long as people are engaged in intoxication, meeting and gambling, illicit sex, there can't be any improvement. Karma will be there. And the more people are engaged in it, then the worse the karma gets. The more it's vikarma. There can only be destruction. Without Krishna consciousness, then there can only be problems. Although people may criticize this group, whether it be this unknown people who are behind everything. What do they call those people? Illuminatis or whatever. The deep state. As if, you know, somehow or another, someone who's been, you know, who's deep in mire and illusion is going to get rid of the deep state. Maybe the deep state has a lot of good people in it. Who knows? Maybe someone there is following one of the principles of religion. Who knows? But as long as people are killing cows, engaged in all killing their children, there can't be any improvement whatsoever. We're not living in a civilized society. We're living in a mad society. People are all crazy. And before they were a little crazy, now they're completely insane. Or as Prabhupada said when he came to London and the reporters were asking him, he said, Swamiji, what do you think of English culture? And Prabhupada's reply was, I think it would be a good idea. So there is no culture. Even the animals are embarrassed when they say, you're like an animal. The animals say, what? Come on, we're regulated. But generally, we don't kill our own children. I mean, we don't want to identify with these people. Give us a break. We're on the ups. We're going upward. These people, who knows where they're going? Therefore, the only hope is the distribution of transcendental knowledge, especially the chanting of the holy names, prasadam. It's the only hope that the civilization has. And that's what Prabhupada exemplified. Fixity in purpose. Establishing an opportunity for the fallen souls of the Kali Yuga, including ourselves, to participate in the Sankirtan movement. Not only to make friends with the devotees, which is very important, that we have to we have to become friendly to the devotees, respect them within our minds, and try to cooperate with them, specifically for helping each other and helping innocent people become Krishna conscious. That's the sacrifice of this age. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he not only brought the holy name, but he brought the attitude in distributing the holy name. Yari Deka, Tarikaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Aga Guruhana Taridesh. That whoever we meet, doesn't matter who it is, that our attitude, our prayer should be, our desire should be, my dear Lord, please give me the intelligence by what I can, your mercy within my heart as a super soul, to remind me of what Guru, what Sadhu, and what Shastra has told me, so that I can, according to the best of my ability, try to help this person I've just met develop their relation with Krishna. There can't be any higher activity than that. That is the activity in this age. And of course, as Dhruva Maharaj, when he was boarding the airplane to go to Dhruvaloka, and the Vaikuntha devotees, the Vishnu Dutas, came to bring him there, he was so overwhelmed with awe that he forgot what to say. Because Death Personified came and paid obeisances and climbed on Death Personified's body to enter into the airplane. But the only thing he can remember is Hare Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj is a typical devotee. You ask him any question, he says Hare Krishna. But that saved him. When he was surrounded by the Yakshasha's illusions, the ocean coming to drown him on one side, the Rakshashis going to devour him on another side, the animals, ferocious animals coming to devour him on another side. On all sides he was surrounded by problems, and from above they were throwing boulders to crush him, and he became bewildered. So the sages said, hey, you're a devotee, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Remember, you tell everyone else to chant Hare Krishna. Why don't you chant Hare Krishna? So Dhruva Maharaj said, Hare Krishna. And it all went away. So Dhruva Maharaj was powerful. He could remember to chant Hare Krishna. Now we ourselves, sometimes we think everything's fine. And we forget we're going to chant Hare Krishna. That's unfortunate. But don't worry, Kali Yuga, we don't have to pray for problems. They come, as Queen Kunti had to actually go through the trouble to pray for problems. We don't have to pray for problems. Just wake up in the morning. And a whole day of problems is already been prepared. With a whole schedule of problems is there. You don't have to write it down on your agenda. They'll be there. And if we're fortunate, we'll pray to Krishna, we'll chant Hare Krishna sincerely to please help me. And the more difficult the problems are, the more likely a devotee is going to turn to Krishna to help solve them. The real problem is when we think everything's going all right. The prasadam actually is really good. And there's a lot of it. No problem. My problem is solved. Or as they say in Spanish, barriga llena, corazón contento. When the stomach's full, the heart is pleased. But that's what Prabhupada mentions here. This idea that everything's all right in the world because my stomach's full, I have a nice place to sleep. Who knows what romance awaits me in the future? Maybe some, if I advance enough in Krishna consciousness, maybe Indra will send an apsara. No one can blame me. An apsara, you know, even the demigods can't resist. And as far as defense goes, well, I have my insurance. I've been watching some videos on the internet about self-defense. It's all right. Things are cool. But actually, the only real hope, the only real defense, the only real, well, if we want to be happy if we by intoxication, then Prabhupada said, become intoxicated on the holy name. If we want to eat something that tastes good, then we should relish the holy name. Rupa Goswami said, if I had thousands of tongues and thousands of ears, millions of years and millions of tongues, then I might be able to relish the holy name, the taste of the holy name. So try to taste the holy name. Try to become intoxicated in the holy name. Try to develop a loving relationship with the holy name. And try to defend ourselves from Maya, from the illusory energy, by taking shelter of the holy name. That's the only sacrifice that can actually help us in this age. Everything else, all these things, they may be temporarily beneficial, as Prahlad Maharaj said, that I've tried in so many different ways to counteract the problems of material existence, and although they may be temporarily beneficial, but actually they just created more problems in the future for me. Therefore, the whole idea of Krishna, as soon as we become a devotee, if we think we're going to have a peaceful life, a happy life, everything's going to be provided to us. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. We're wrong. If we're actually trying to become Krishna conscious, Krishna will simply send one problem after another. And if we don't think it's a problem, don't worry. Krishna will increase it until finally we realize this is a problem. And if not, then we'll have to go through another death. Finally we think, well, I'm about to die. Maybe this is a problem. Is there any prasadam before I go? You know, I don't want to miss the feast. This would be too much. It's like almost like this person, devotee, who said he was in Howrah train station in West Bengal in Calcutta. And he was chanting japa, and one of the people who were begging was looking for cigarettes on the railroad track. the remains of cigarettes. But a train came along and cut him in half, his body in half. So the devotee went up to him and said, "Can I do something to help you?" He said, "Do you have a cigarette?" So we have to recognize what our problems really are and try to see them properly. And not only that, but try to understand that we've been blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And being blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have a big responsibility. He's not blessing us because he likes the way we look. He likes our face. He's blessing us so we can bless others too. And even if we say, "Well, I can't, you know, I'm too old to go out," whatever. So whoever we meet, we should try to help them become Krishna conscious. We should not think, "Oh, here's my worst enemy, you know, let me say something that's going to agitate their minds or talk behind their back and maybe it'll get to them." Or maybe we'll look at someone and say, "Well, here's a possible friend or to give me what I want," or "Here's a possible romance," or whatever. To take that all out of our mind and think, "I'm simply here to serve Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their representatives. And in order to do that, whatever relationship I have, I should give up my false identification with this body. I should give up my false idea that I am the husband, I am the wife, I am this and that." Yes, we are. This body is meant to act properly. We don't give that up. As long as we're conditioned by the material energy, we don't give it up. We act properly as a husband, act properly as a wife, act properly as a friend in every respect. But at the same time, we know that if I really want to be a good husband, a real wife, a good friend, a good anything, then I have to give this jiva Krishna consciousness along with it, whatever else I'm obliged to give them. But I have to infuse it with Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, I won't be their friend. I won't be able to help them, and I won't help myself. I'll just be part of this whole drama that's going on in Kali Yuga with some extra ideas along with my current state of illusions. Anyhow, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes, I think the first one was, yes, Shyamasundarbhu.
Give you a class. You were talking about how we don't know who's actually running the government. I'm wondering if you can make a social comment on our own society that during the COVID, we don't know what was influencing them. We read in official publications that we should all take the vaccine, and many devotees did on their authority. But there hasn't been a retraction statement saying, "Oops, we made a mistake, and thousands of people are dying as a consequence of it." I wonder if you could make a social comment on that, please.
Well, let's say that we're all in different degrees of illusion in different subject matters. Our basic illusion is that we think we're this body and that somehow or another we're going to protect it in some way. So that manifests itself in varieties of illusions and varieties of opinions and things like that. Now, as far as medical history goes, most of us have not been brought up. We've been brought up in a society which has emphasized the glories of pharmaceuticals, the allopathic methodology of doing things. People have been brought up since their birth in that. And probably because of taking too many of these things, they're probably even more confused about it. And so, you know, and they've been hardly brought up in how to eat properly, according to Ayurveda and according to a real science of living in this material world. Most of us thought we were transcendental since we joined the Hare Krishna movement, that everything about us was transcendental, including our stomach. There was unlimited space in it. And prasadam was also transcendental, so it could fit anywhere in the material world. So we've been brought up with that conception that, you know, this body is pure or whatever else. Anyhow, most of us we're lucky if we've actually studied Prabhupada's books and actually try to understand what transcendental life is. And most of us are very naive about material life. And therefore, it takes a lot of negative experiences to actually get a little intelligence. As Prabhupada said, an intelligent person, they learn by hearing. A less intelligent person learns by experience. So that's in a whole variety of things. Not only this medical industry, which we've been brainwashed and misdirected since we've been born. And some of us weren't. I mean, my parents, for instance, my mother and my father, they really were against the allopathic medical industry. I mean, I may have seen an allopathic doctor before I went to college, and even in college. I may have been a couple of times when my fee was really hard, they gave me some penicillin. Other than that, we went to chiropractors. So I was never brought up in the illusion that allopathic medicine was the way. And even I studied medicine when I was in high school and college. You know, it convinced me even more that this is not something I wanted to get into. But others, you know, I didn't take any vaccines when I was younger. They gave me some penicillin, you know, these little cubes of penicillin. That was it. Whatever, not penicillin, it was some kind of vaccine against polio a couple of times in school. But others, you know, have been brought up, this is the truth, the way and the light. No one gets Krishna unless you get vaccinated. So that's the way it is, you know. As far as, you know, learning, then everyone, if it's really bad, they'll learn by experience. And if it was really good, then they've already learned. What's that? Yeah, I mean, whatever, but you know, this is Kali Yuga. Even Ayurveda, I mean, I studied Ayurveda for like 30, 40 years now. Even Ayurveda has been pretty much distorted. This is Kali Yuga. Everything has been distorted. When Prabhupada was taking milk, you know, from store-bought milk, and devotees would say, well, Prabhupada, you know, this has vitamin D in it. He says, Kali Yuga, it's all contaminated. Everything's contaminated. What can you do? You might as well stop breathing. Because everything, the air is contaminated. But, you know, we should use our intelligence, and people, at least in these material things, the most important thing is to chant Hare Krishna. And our leaders, you know, whatever the reasons are, you know, these are our leaders. This is how Krishna has arranged things. But we don't have to blindly follow anyone. Blind following absurd inquiries are condemned. Once you get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So our standard is Prabhupada. That's our standard to follow. And our leaders, if they're misdirected in some way, then we should, and Prabhupada gives us some other example, then we're not being forced to follow it. We should find out, use our intelligence, and do what's actually healthy and beneficial for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. And follow that. And if we follow someone who's misdirected, rather than get angry at them and envious of them, we should realize that it takes two to tango. That we shouldn't blindly accept our leaders. Maybe it's a difficulty that, you know, maybe someone is claiming to be absolute, and therefore whatever they say is absolute, but that's absurd. Even Prabhupada didn't say that. He didn't say that in this, I'll just finish. He didn't say that in the sense that only Krishna is omniscient. That if someone had, that Prabhupada said, bhakta samshana, we can understand a leader by their desire to spread Krishna consciousness, not necessarily by their expertise in material science. But of course, Prabhupada also made mention of these things because Prabhupada was familiar with the Vedic sciences. But rather than get envious of our leaders, or whatever, then we should just know that our actual leader is the Vedic culture, the Vedic wisdom, and then take shelter of that If we're being misdirected, then don't get envious of them if they don't listen to us, and just go on with what we're doing, and they'll find out by experience, hopefully. Yes, I think Prime Govindapur. Prime
Govindapur.
In the beginning, you were quoting Jasam tu andagata papam jananam punna karmana. So the conviction determination comes from the pious credit from previous life and growing up this life. But then when that question was raised to Prabhupada that I didn't do anything, and Prabhupada said, I made you fortunate. So my question is like, how much we have to really pay attention on the pious activities in order to have that conviction, determination, versus the mercy?
If that one is not pious, then there's no question. I mean, we, as far as our previous pious activities, well, as Prabhupada was saying, you know, generally speaking, most of us have been sinful from the beginning of our lives. So where are the pious activities if we've been sinful? But Prabhupada gave us through the holy name, through his instructions. Therefore, we stopped eating meat. We started protecting the cows. We started eating properly, having proper relations with others. So that's our pious. We start doing devotional service, which is the most pious activity. But we have to go beyond that in order to conquer sinful reactions, understand that pious activities, impious activities, they're all, as a great devotee said, they're all part of karmakanda, gyanakanda. The real thing is to fix our mind on Krishna, become an instrument for devotional service. That's the most pious activity. Krita punya punya. So we can rise up to the platform of real devotional service, understand in truth Krishna, and then meditate and trance in pure devotional love. That's our aim.
So when you use that word punna karma, that's what causes the determination or conviction.
We may not have any punya karma. Some people may not have any punya. They've been performing so many sinful activities. But by the chanting of the holy name, which Prabhupada gave us, then we acquire some intelligence, some brains. So that's pious, so we can actually wash our hands before we eat. Something pious, something clean. Clean, merciful, truthful, like that. And Vedic.
Maharaj, in practically in the movement, like you are self, like very determined and convinced, and many other like this, and some are like falling short or go away.
Practice. This is a big school we're in. It's called the material world. And sometimes we graduate, and sometimes we get left back. But if by the mercy of the holy name, by the mercy of eating prasadam at least, then we'll gradually go ahead. Okay. Something will be there. One last question, because I have another conference call now.
Yes, Hari Bol Maharaj. Thank you for a nice class. So it's stated that people who eat the cow will be reborn as cow.
As a what?
Will be reborn as cow and be eaten.
If they eat the cow, I doubt whether they'll make that birth if they eat a cow.
And but what? So 80-90% of the world is actually eating the cow now. So what does that mean? Most of the cow we see in there are people reborn as cow. I mean.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not Yamaraj. All I know is we better chant Hare Krishna. If we want to help these, even to the cows, we better chant Hare Krishna. That's the only hope in this age. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.